Howdy, folks. Today, I want to talk to you about a phrase we see in the scripture, specifically in the 37th Psalm, and take some application from that. And that phrase is the mouth of the righteous. I got all kinds of reasons that I want to talk to you about this, spiritual as well as carnal, meaning things of this world. You know, a lot of people talk. I mean, we're in a time with social media and a government-controlled regular media where a lot of people talk, and there is the spread of a lot of information that is unrighteous, untrue, misinformed, etc. And there's always some sort of, you know, let me get you pointed in this direction or that direction. I want to talk about how important it is to have righteous people talking. And since the world lies in wickedness, the whole world, 1 John 5:19, you know, if you are a student of the scriptures, if you believe in God, if you have faith in God, so I should combine those two points, because there are people that are student of the scriptures and very few of them have true faith in God. You see things like Proverbs 14:15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. People are naive. They believe things that they hear and see that are rooted in information intended to deceive. We look at the Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Think about the foolish world we live in and how many people are talking. And how their words are their destruction, their lips, the snare of their soul. And what that means for those that listen, those that speak and those that listen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 11 through 14, Solomon, by way of inspiration, writes, surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? I want you to think about that. A fool is full of words. Even though his talk is foolishness, the end of it is mischievous madness, he's still full of words, a lot to say, and they don't listen. They just simply do not listen. Proverbs 23 and verse 9 says, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. And that applies. You know, I don't have to make the application or the illustration, because you know plenty of people in your life who fit that, who have a lot to say that's full of garbage. Maybe they read it online. Maybe they heard it in a YouTube video or some other social media source. Or maybe they just come up with their own crazy dumb opinion and decide that they want to talk about it. You could have watched the presidential debate on Tuesday, and what you hear is two fools full of words. And they just keep talking. And the more and more they talk, the more and more foolishness comes out. You see it everywhere you look and everywhere you go. So how's this fit us who are doing what is right in the sight of the Lord and striving to enter into eternal life? Well, there are things like Proverbs 11 and verse 14, an instruction. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. So the Bible, God's word, the word of faith, is telling me to listen to other people. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in a multitude of counselors, there are established. Listen to people. In the spiritual sense, in Acts 15, verses 1 through 6, says, certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren, and there, this is in Antioch, by the way, said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certainly the other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought in their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying, it was needful to circumcise them and to command them keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And by the way, it wasn't just the apostles and the elders. When you get down to Acts 15:22, when they decide to write a letter, it says, please, the apostles, elders with the whole church, to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, Silas, chief men among the brethren. So you see, in all matters, it's wise to get counsel. But then there's these cautions that apply to everything we've talked to up to this point, that we have to be careful who we listen to. Proverbs 14:7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. So when you look at someone and you test, because we're to prove all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, and hold fast that which is good, that there's not wisdom there, go away. Don't keep listening. Mark 4:24, Jesus gives this. He said unto them, take heed what ye hear, and what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and to you that shall hear, more shall be given. Take heed to what you hear. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, as the Corinthians, and this problem is addressed throughout the first four chapters up until this point, along with a few other things. The Corinthians love to exalt men, love to listen to men, love to exalt worldly wisdom. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:6, by inspiration, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men, and of men is italicized, meaning it's added, but not to think of men, or just not to think above that which is written, that none of you be puffed up for one against another. Don't go beyond what is written. Here's a great standard that we're going to talk about as we go through this lesson. The ultimate wise counsel is found for us in the scriptures. And whatever it is you face, there's wisdom in God's word to deal with it. Because like we talked about in a podcast not too long ago, the word of God is very much alive. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. What you face today, God's word addresses how to handle it. He's the creator. He made all things. He knows his creation. So he knows how to deal with your marital problems. He knows how to deal with your financial problems. He knows how to deal with your stresses and all these other things that are faced in life. But you know what? People don't want to consult God. When we go in and we talk to people, we need to be asking ourselves, is there wisdom from the world or is there wisdom from God? Because this world is going to end. So if there's wisdom is based in things that are worldly, then it is temporary and perishable wisdom. What about what God has to say on the matter? One more verse along the lines of being careful who we listen to. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You know, when you think about stories that people make up, I don't know about you, but I certainly heard plenty of them over the time, like these old silly types of stories. They're not authoritative. And there are some people, I've met people in life that have a story for everything. Their story's not authoritative, nor is it necessarily wise. And the storyteller gets to craft the story to communicate whatever message it is that they want to communicate. So they can control the narrative. They can control which way they want to go. Say, for example, I'm just going to make something up right off the cuff just to illustrate the point, okay? So a preacher gets up in front of an audience and he says, brethren, I want to tell you, preaching the word of God comes with consequences. I preached the truth, the word of God, and I was sent out from this congregation for preaching it. I'm telling you, if you preach the truth, you're going to face like consequences. Okay? His narrative is, you're going to suffer for preaching the truth. Watch this story as you investigate it. So, hey, why'd that preacher get kicked out of that congregation? Someone says to you, oh, you don't know? Yeah, he preached the truth, but he was also committing adultery. So why was he kicked out of that congregation? Not for preaching the truth, for committing adultery. He told the story. He preached the truth. And he got kicked out of the congregation. He just left out this detail that he committed adultery. He controlled the story. He get to tell it in whatever way that suited him. On the other hand, if he wants to tell that story and include the detail, I committed adultery, now he can cultivate lessons from that. He can say, and now here I am preaching, having repented of the sin of adultery, and you brethren have embraced me with the forgiveness that's in Christ as I brought forth fruit meet for repentance. You see, he could use the story that way. Because that's how stories go. True or not true, right? And I just gave you an off-the-cuff illustration. I'm sure maybe if you think about it longer than I did, you'd come up with a better one. And maybe you poke holes in what I just said. I just gave an illustration. That's all it is. You get to control stories. So when people have this old wives' tale, they get to suit it to what it is they want to say. We have to be careful who we're listening to. You know, if I want to teach that there are consequences for preaching the gospel, all I got to do is start with the life of Jesus and the works of the apostles. I could go to Acts chapters 4 and 5 and show the apostles being arrested multiple times, beaten, commanded not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ anymore, etc. I don't have to come up with an old wives' fable or my own story or anything else. I could use the word of God to illustrate the point, to prove it out, and in an authoritative way. Right? So if I want to teach that, maybe I'll say, I've gone through this or someone else has gone through this, but really, don't we need to make sure that 1 Corinthians 4, 6 point comes into play? Are they speaking from what is written? Or does it mean more because he gave his own personal story? Well, here's the problem with his own personal story. He controls the narrative. God warns us, and then he commands. Proverbs 19:27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Cease to hear the instruction that will bring about error. We need to test what we hear. I gave 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Ephesians 5:10 says, proving, that is testing, what is acceptable in the Lord. And then verse 11, have no fellowship with them for works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I need to test it. I need to make sure that it's right. Well, this is where the mouth of the righteous comes in. All these points come down to this. Sometimes we need somebody to talk to. Somebody we need somebody to learn from. Sometimes we need counselors. Well, who do those people need to be? Psalm 37 is where I got the title and the point of this lesson from. Verses 30 and 31 says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. I think Psalm 37, 30 through 31 proves every point that I've made, and we're going to break it down a little bit more. Starting with righteous people. Where do they gain their wisdom from? Proverbs 2, 6 and 7 says, the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So, if you're a righteous individual, your wisdom comes from God. How am I going to know if you're a righteous individual? I'm going to have to look at what you do, not just what you say. 1 John 2:29, if you know he is righteous, you know everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Same context, few verses later, 1 John 3 and verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. So you're going to look at conduct. And then you're going to come back and you're going to say, okay, if I'm sitting down talking to this person and they don't have a Bible open, what can I know? Well, like we saw in Psalm 37, 30 and 31, where is the law of God? It's in his heart or in her heart. Psalm 1 starts off in the first two verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You hear that? The person who is righteous, the one that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, he doesn't keep company with him, he delights in the law of the Lord. He meditates upon it day and night. In the same chapter of the title verses of our lesson, Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The Lord's his source of authority, or her source of authority. Listen, when somebody thinks they're wise and they reject God's word, they're not wise at all. I don't know why people are listening to them. Why is the standard of good counsel financial advisors, worldly doctors, school teachers, etc., etc.? What do they all have in common? Unless they're Christians, let me preface that, they're people of the world. So let me tell you this. If they're of the world, there's no wisdom in them. If you don't like that statement, you will get to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you will get to tell him that you don't agree with 1 Corinthians chapters 1, 2, and 3. Go read it. And you can take that up with him. But I believe and am fully persuaded that my Lord's wisdom is far above anything on earth. And thus I know my Lord is right. So my actions show that I don't trust what man tells me. I don't flip on this news channel or that news channel. I don't read this blog or that social media website, or do this and listen to that and then walk away with thinking I got wiser. If anything else, I got dumber. The Word of God is the filter by which I process all information, from the most educated of the world down to the least. If they tell me something, I'm combining it and testing it with God's word. You need to do the same, because those people of the world, they're rejecting the Lord. Jeremiah 8:9 says, the wise men are ashamed. They're dismayed and taken low. They have rejected the word of the Lord. What wisdom is in them? Did you hear that? Let me repeat it. The wise men. So he's saying these people that are wise, based upon who? Obviously, the world. And here, it's unfortunately the Jews, who should be God's people, who aren't thinking as God's people. The wise men are ashamed. So the people they go to for wisdom are ashamed. They're dismayed and taken low. They've rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? Boy, God goes on to talk about the punishment. I'm going to give their wives to others, their fields to them that inherit them, etc. Yeah, not so wise, are they? What wisdom is there in somebody that's going to stand before the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King, the Judge of all things, and hear, depart, I know you not, ye that work iniquity. So I ask you, why are you listening to them? If the most important thing in your life is your soul, who are you listening to? True wisdom isn't about the flesh. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 12, wisdom is a defense and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. In Proverbs 8, wisdom is personified. Wisdom is speaking as a person. Proverbs 8 verse 1 illustrates this. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? So wisdom is made a female here, has a voice, and is crying forth. In that context, Proverbs 8, 35 and 36, wisdom says, For whoso findeth me, now if you got to find something, what you got to do? You got to do some seeking, right? Whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me, love death. So think about what wisdom is saying to the world. Wisdom saying to the world, you're not seeking me, so you're not going to find life. You're not seeking me, so you're not going to obtain favor of the Lord. You are sinning against me, so you're wronging your soul. You love death. So let me put this to you. If your wisdom comes from the world, you're wronging your own soul. You love death. You're looking in the wrong places, reading and listening to the wrong things. On the other hand, the mouth of the righteous. Proverbs 10:11 says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." The mouth of the righteous, have you thought about that? Is a well of life. To do what? Proverbs 13:14. "The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." Why is that? Because righteous people, Proverbs 15:2 through 4, says, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and evil. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." Have you considered that people that are righteous, that are wise, they use knowledge in the right way? They don't just have knowledge, but they know how to wield it. They know how to use it. You know, there are people that might have knowledge. Maybe somebody's sitting on a bus and they're asking the bus driver a bunch of questions. What do you do when you make a right turn? Oh, I have to make it wide because of this, and you know, I have to consider where the tail end is or whatever. I'm not a bus driver, so I know this. Look out if I had to drive one of those big buses. Look out stop signs. Look out poles. Look out cars. Look out, because I know for sure I don't know how to drive it. But if I sat there and asked a bunch of questions, I may have the knowledge. Like, I may have the information. When I managed a Firestone store and a Goodyear store back in Ohio years ago, before I started preaching the gospel, I hired people that had ASE certifications. On paper, they knew what they were doing. Took them back to the brake lathe, said, "Okay, it's time to," the language we use was, "turn these rotors." Rotors are on a brake system where if you got disc brakes, you got brake pads that the calipers squeeze onto the rotors that are all fed by the brake line, and those brake pads squeeze on the rotors. Well, over time, those semi-metallic brake pads generally will start putting grooves, and sometimes you'll get, you know, moisture and different things, get a little warping going on. So you take a micrometer and you measure that rotor. It can go down a certain level before it's unsafe. And you can take off a layer of it when you're doing a brake job and put on new brake pads and go ahead and bleed out the system and get the calipers back where they need to be, etc. Well, that information is great, but then they didn't know how to use the micrometer. They didn't know exactly how far to take down that rotor. They didn't have a clue of actually how to do the work. It's like me. I haven't done that work in so long. I'd probably be more than rusty. Well, they had the information, but they didn't know how to use it. They didn't know how to put it into practice. So somebody that's truly wise, somebody that's righteous, has that wisdom. They also know how to use it. And they continue learning. The wise continue to learn. Think about this. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." And then couple that with Proverbs 16:22-24, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth. So he's already called wise, but he teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. How about that? He teaches himself and adds learning to his words. So a wise person is going to keep getting wiser. They're going to keep learning. They're going to use that wisdom in a way that is useful. Think about Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. He's going to know how to use his words in a beneficial way, physically and spiritually. The Bible gives us that knowledge. So the more a righteous person studies, the more a righteous person learns, the more a righteous person grows, the more they have wisdom and understanding. And coupled with the experience that life brings about, always going back to the Bible, the living word is the source of knowledge. And combining that, this person's going to be a growing source of wisdom. Yes. And with that, they get to feed people. Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. So I want you to think about this. If you want to know, I just come back to the automotive part. If you want to know how to do a good brake job, you could go on YouTube. You can find all kinds of people on there that are going to tell you how to do a brake job. But what are their qualifications? Did they just read it in a book? Are they going to show you something that someone else has done? I don't know, because I've never looked. I know that there are people that go on YouTube to figure out how to do something, and they end up with disasters. Am I saying that everything on YouTube, the how-to videos, are all wrong? No. I'm sure there's good information there. I just choose not to use it. I'd rather talk to somebody that I know has that knowledge, that there's evidence of that knowledge, if I'm going to do it. Or I'm just going to pay somebody to do it, because I know that they're a professional. Well, let's take the old brake job. If you've got somebody who's been working on vehicles for 30 years and has done so many brake jobs, they don't know how to count. And they tell you, hey, I recommend you do this. I don't know anything about today, but I remember back in the day that I was involved in parts and service, etc. Again, I'm not saying this is the case today. It's just an illustration. But back in that day, when AutoZone just started coming on the scene, they didn't have very good parts. So we would use other parts suppliers, even though AutoZone was cheaper. And hopefully that's changed. So I'm not telling you not to shop at AutoZone. I don't have the experience to tell you that now. I'm just telling you, I'm talking about back in like 1993. All right, so don't think my information is accurate. You hear how I'm giving you warnings, right? I don't have the wisdom in that department anymore. But my point is this. A lot of people swore by AutoZone. We knew from experience that their parts weren't holding up. They were breaking down. A lot of times you got an alternator from AutoZone, and instead of it being completely rebuilt, they were just repaired, and they used slight different wording. And yes, they were cheaper by $60 sometimes. But 6 months later, this person's coming back saying, I think my battery's dead, and we're testing it again, saying, no, it's the alternator. You pull up that old invoice, which wasn't so easy. We used to have files. Computer technology wasn't where it is today. Find out we got that part from AutoZone. Oh, no, that's not good. That's not good. Well, we stopped using them as a part supplier. So when people asked me, where would you buy that part? I gave them another place to go that was local, that had better quality parts that we didn't see coming back and coming back and coming back. Same thing. One time I got an appliance repaired, and the guy that that constantly repairs the appliances, he said, don't buy this brand, because I'll tell you, we see that break down a lot. So I took that counsel because he had experience. And I thought about what the Word of God tells me, right? Elders are not supposed to be novices. They're not supposed to be beginners. So I thought about it from a biblical standpoint, that you don't want to go to a beginner in something and get some kind of information from them. The Word of God always helps us to make these right decisions. The lips of the righteous feed many. So who should be our greatest counselors? Let me tell you what. I got a brother in Christ that can tell me to do something. I'm not going to the world. I'm going to my brother in Christ. Sister in Christ, same thing. I want you to think about what Jesus told Peter. In John 21, 15 through 17, when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Joseph, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And in verse 17, he saith to him the third time, Simon, son of Joseph, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. What do righteous people do? They feed. Think about what's said of pleasant words. And I read it to you earlier. Proverbs 16, 24. Pleasant words are in a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. You remember when we read that? When we looked at Proverbs 16, 22 through 24? Good stuff. So knowledge of wisdom is good. In chapter 24 of the book of Proverbs, verses 13 and 14, my son, eat thou honey because it's good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. It's good. Knowledge of wisdom is good unto the soul, the way that honey, because it's good. It's good to the soul. Well, the lips of the righteous can feed many because the righteous have that wisdom. They have that knowledge. They have that understanding. They handle it right. And then in Proverbs 10 and verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what's acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. So the righteous individual is only desiring good. Proverbs 11, 23, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. So look at the desire of the righteous. It's good. That's what he delights in. Righteous individuals delight in what is good. So what are they going to live? What are they going to speak? How are they going to do it? Well, they're going to take time to think things through. Make sure it's right according to the word of God. Make sure it's acceptable to our Lord and Savior. Proverbs 15, 28 says, the heart of the righteous studieth the answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. So a righteous individual is going to take time. He's going to step back. He's going to say, hey, this is the right way to go about it. And that's not always knowledge-based. Here's where wisdom comes in. You know, when Jesus was teaching the apostles, there were times where he did not give them information. The wisdom to discern when to speak is very important. In John 16 and verse 12, you said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. That wisdom, it doesn't just happen. So think about people who have knowledge, but they don't think before they speak, and their knowledge becomes a stumbling block to somebody that's weak. In our Tuesday podcast, we talked about James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Not just having the right answer, but knowing when to give it. I mean, could you imagine? You walk into a first grade class and the teacher is writing on the chalkboard and you ask them, hey, what's that math problem? And the teacher says, it's trigonometry. Like, these kids don't even know how to multiply. They barely can do 5 plus 11. And you're trying to teach them trigonometry, and the teacher just looks at you. What I'm teaching them is facts. What's your problem? They're not capable of understanding the facts that you're trying to teach them. Well, a righteous individual knows how to handle when to speak. So the conclusion of our lesson is this simple. Surround yourself with the right people. People have wisdom, and people that are going to know how to share it with you. Psalm 119:63 says, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee and them that keep thy precepts. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And the chapter talking about the resurrection, Paul said, by inspiration of the Corinthians, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. I'm sorry, it's 1 Corinthians 15:33 is the verse reference. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Listen, the mouth of the righteous is a valuable source for information, ultimately, because it's rooted and grounded in God's Word. The world, on the other hand, not so. Be careful who you're listening to. There's motive behind message. There's truth that can be mishandled. There's wisdom that can be perverted. There's understanding that can be twisted. Even the Word of God can be twisted. 2 Peter 3:15 through 17. That's why Paul told Timothy, study, and that means in 2 Timothy 2:15, study means to be diligent. Show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or handling aright the word of truth. What's that tell you? It can be handled incorrectly as well as correctly. So just because somebody has book, chapter, and verse doesn't mean they're using it right. Be careful who you listen to. I'm thankful that you took the time to listen to this podcast. While it is a simple lesson, it is a necessary and valuable, especially in our day, with the spread of nothing but garbage in this world. If all goes according to plan, I'll be back on Tuesday, and we'll continue our study with the book of James. Thank you so much for listening. Until then, I'll say goodbye.